Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
And so, Michael, here's my first question. Have you ordered your gopher wood, and do you know how long a cubit is?
I'm going to quack you an answer.
Well, yeah, I don't know if you can get gopher wood anymore. I tried to order some when we had a whole lot of rain, which we've actually had this year as well. But a cubit, by the way, you know, as you know, that's how long that was the measurement that Noah used for his ark.
Right.
A cubit is 16 inches, as I remember in my studies. But so that'll give you a little bit. Well, you actually are working on a boat over there, so maybe that'll be your ark.
I'm working on an ark. There's no doubt about it.
But you know, a year ago, you were complaining about it being so. You know, you guys were in a drought up there in the Eastern Shore. And now you've got flood conditions almost. We just can't seem to get it leveled out, can we?
No, we clearly had a balancing problem. We were as dry as a bone to the point where people were questioning if our aquifers still had water flowing through them. And we had communities such as Frederick, Maryland, that literally shut down development in entirety because it was too dry.
Yeah.
And now the state is somewhat like a sponge, and people are questioning whether the corn and beans are gonna come up or not.
Well, you know, we live our lives with all this planning. You and I talk about planning on the show and everything a lot, and all the different things that we give our bankers and make sure that they're happy with how we're managing our business and everything. But we always have to remember that we're not really in charge of everything, are we?
No, absolutely not. We are not. But at the same time, as you point out so well in small businesses like a bunch of bananas, we need to focus forward and be distance runners, not sprinters. And
so you really got to do that, don't you?
Yeah, and being a distance runner means taking time to not just look at the present, but look at the future and look at it hard and figure out how you're going to play a role in it.
You know, one last little joke. I don't know if you've heard this before. Somebody once said, "No matter who you are, no matter how important you are, the size of your funeral is still going to depend on the weather."
That's a good point. I agree with that.
Michael, what are you looking at? You're looking out there at the economy. You've got your regional economy, but I know you're plugged into the national view as well. I wanted to get your thoughts on what you think about the overall economy in America.
Well, my personal view is that there's no question we are still stretched, and there are a couple of macroeconomic conditions that are a cause for pause, and I think a basis for all business to really, really focus hard on the next 24 to 36 months. clearly, GDP continues to kind of bounce along in an average fashion, and the rate stimulus of the Fed has just not yet produced any measurable results. We're not really seeing anything. Clearly, the past 24 months represented a consumer binge from the standpoint of refinancing, and the relationship between debt and total income today is higher than it's ever been in the history of the country. Mm. So we're seriously leveraged as consumers. Clearly, the last recession was a business recession, not a consumer recession, because consumers spent like there was no tomorrow, mm-hmm. much because of free credit. And those are, I think, a basis for concern, coupled with relatively low consumer confidence rates compared to where they have been at times.
Even though they've been bouncing around a little bit, they've been coming up a little bit. They really overall the mean level of confidence has been low, hasn't it?
Right, and that's a cause for concern. So if the consumer if we don't find a way to get the 2 million jobs that we've lost over the past 24 months back to work, if we don't have some real job formation, if we don't get some continued consumer confidence with continued spending, then there are some macroeconomic issues that could really cause us some indigestion, not the least of which might be automobiles, which mm-hmm. is a major driver to the economy and mm-hmm. clearly is an overcapacity industry with Ford and General Motors, I'd say, stretched at times.
And what's next after automobiles? Housing?
Well, you know, housing has certainly driven our economy, and the CPI is something a little over 1%. That excludes food and energy. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It does not exclude housing.
Right.
And if you pull housing out of it, the question is, do we actually have deflation going on?
Yeah. Hold on to that thought, Michael. I'm going to come back and get some more of Michael's perspective right after these messages. It's 20 till. Stay with us. I don't feel so good. We're back at 17 till. Let me remind you, Ken Dalecki is going to be with us in the next hour, sitting in for Joan Pride as we talk about the most recent Kiplinger letters. And also, let me remind you, Bob Caudill is going to be with us talking about some things the American Legion is doing to help veterans on this. We'll be talking about that on Independence Day. Then I've got some things I want to talk about. I want to talk about how we, you and I, began with freedom. I'm going to talk about that in part of our 4th of July programming. And then Bert Folsom is our resident historian. I couldn't have a day like the 4th of July. Couldn't broadcast on that day without having Bert on the show. So I'm looking forward to getting him back on the show. Mike Menzies is our guest. Michael, by the way, happy 4th of July.
Thank you. Happy 4th of July to you. And I'm delighted you're going to talk about how we began with freedom.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that. It's one of my favorite topics. Michael, you were giving us a little bit of a rundown, and it almost sounds like you're warning of the potential for deflation.
Well, no, I don't personally believe that the Fed will allow deflation.
What can they do, though? They're down to one point. You know, you were talking about the interest rates not really lowering the interest rates, not really revving things up. You know, I don't know if you remember it or not. I don't know if I said it with you or not, but from my small business perspective, once rates got down to, you know, once the prime rate got down to under 5%,
right,
anything below that is almost inconsequential because the truth is that the banks aren't going to pass that savings along to us that much anyway.
Yeah, the reason I choose not to believe it is that it's a little too nuclear for a banker to think that there could be a general meltdown of prices and services.
You don't even want to see those balance sheets, do you?
That's right. And the fact of the matter is, as a country, we have an extremely solid and solvent banking industry. We are not like Japan, where the government has basically allowed the banking industry to continue
through denial, through almost
right.
criminal denial.
Right. So Japan
and also we're
out.
Better. We're not like we were in the 30s.
Absolutely not. No, there's too many fundamentally strong attributes to our economy to cause us to have Japan type deflation. Now, is it possible we could drift into it for a short period of time? Sure, I guess it is.
Well, let me throw out two more issues that are different about now than say 70 years ago. Number one, we don't have tax increases, we have tax cuts.
Right.
And that was a problem in the 30s, was Hoover raised taxes. And number two, we had protectionism in the 30s, and now we're talking free trade. We're talking about more free trade than ever before. So the indicators, the fiscal and the monetary and the trade parameters are moving in the right direction to prevent deflation, aren't they?
I believe so, and you know, I'm certainly not enough of an economist to have a crystal ball. I only have feelings like those who watch some of these numbers. But talking about futures, I think the issue regarding the futures and focusing forward, which is a major theme of your book, is one where I think small business needs to sit back and look hard at the future and do what small business can do to see how the current economy, the projected economy, and what might be termed as the age wave could influence the future of their business. It's a great time to start looking forward.
Well, and another way of another term that people often use is the demographics, the generational elements of demographics.
Yeah, the demographics we're going through over the next 20 years are just going to totally alter the economics, the mm-hmm. politics, and the social climate of this nation. And I would encourage small businesses to take time to study that a bit, to look hard at their local demographics, their state, and the national demographics, because it will change our lives in entirety. There's no doubt in my mind.
Well, if you you know what? The truth is, I mean, there are a lot of people who are really smart at this, and they're professionals at this, and I'm not. But you and I, regular folks, Mike, can actually take a piece of paper and pencil out and can sort of plot the rudimentary effects of this. If you realize that the people who are in their, you know, 70s and or so right now, there are about 30 million of them. And mine and your generation, there's about 80 million. The generation behind us is about 30 million, like the other, like the GI generation. And the one behind them is about 80 million.
Yeah.
So it's like this big wave, isn't it?
Well, it is. It's an age wave. And there are two wonderful books that I just finished. They're not that new. One is called The Gray Dawn by Peter Peterson. Mm-hmm. And the other is called Age Power by Ken Dykewald, who's a professor. And he's written about the baby boom generation and the age wave for over 20 years. And I would encourage small business to get into books of those nature and attempt to apply them to their markets. Whatever the business is, whether you're a subcontractor or building homes or a retailer, understanding the age wave, I think, is fundamental to understanding what's going to happen to your business.
When a small business comes into you and talks to you about the future, do you impose some of these perspectives on your dealing with them? Do you talk to them about these things?
We just, with three or four local businesses, spent time talking about how they can get a grip on their local economy. And we began by getting them into the state financial statements, the county financial statements, and the town financial statements, and going through the economic history of those areas.
Mm-hmm.
We took the demographics of the region that they're serving and walked through the demographics of our area and what the drivers of our economy happen to be. In our case, retirement.
Mm-hmm.
And then we ask the basic question, what is your business going to do in the next 5 to 10 years to sell into these markets and to serve these markets?
Mm-hmm.
And we sent them to our local universities for more research. So anybody can do this. It's
That's
not
right.
nuclear.
That's right. When we come back, folks, I'm going to ask Michael how things are going with small business and their bankers and what he sees out there. Is it good or bad or indifferent? Tintail, stay with us. We'll be right back with our good friend Mike Menzies with Eastern Bank and Trust. We're back at 7 till. Mike Menzies is our guest. He's the president of Eastern Bank and Trust in beautiful downtown Eastern Maryland. And they have a website, folks. It's EastonBankandTrust.com. Can you believe it? It's a beautiful website. There's only one problem, Mike.
What's that?
Your picture's nowhere on this website.
I know. We don't want. We want
we
people to come back.
No, we need to get your picture on this thing.
Yeah, let's
yeah.
do that.
All right, we're back with Michael Menzies. Michael, how are things going with small businesses and their bankers these days?
Well, there's no question that outside of housing, that small business in many segments is really challenged, and notwithstanding the fact that Walmart's had a seriously up quarter or two and Home Depot has done well, there are segments of small business that are really tight.
Mm-hmm.
And the curious consequence of that is that oftentimes small business businesses don't have time for their banker. They're rushing and they're stressed, and they just don't have time.
And may be frightened. And when you're afraid, folks, and you stay away from your banker, you make your banker afraid, and nobody ever got any help out of a scared banker.
Absolutely. I mean, Banker Courage is one of the shortest books in the world. And it's incredibly important when times are tough that small businesses get in the face of their banker and cause their banker to take ownership of
mm-hmm.
their challenges.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't be more emphatic about that.
Say it out loud. I need you to help me.
Yeah, absolutely.
Help me out here.
To walk into the banker and say, listen, guys, we've had a good time and you've done well over the past 5 or 6 years with our business. I need you to take ownership of some of my challenges.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a really important time to do that. And I know it's stressful because I know small businesses are challenged at the moment with tight margins and tightening margins in this environment.
And I want to say one other thing too, folks. And this is a little bit of a reminder. If you talk to your banker that way and they help you, and a year or two from now when things are rocking and rolling, somebody else who you're pretty sure wouldn't have helped you the year before comes along with a half point better rate, don't jump ship. Don't forget to dance with the one what brung you.
Well, we have a couple of accounts right this minute that we're working with who came in and said, listen, we need some relief on cash flow and some cash flow support. We took them to interest only. We sat down and worked with them to come up with a financial game plan, and we're working out of it. And we have a couple of other accounts that are sticking their heads in the sand, and they're simply saying, I don't want to talk to you about it.
Wow.
And, this is classic.
Yeah.
Totally classic.
Yeah.
People are embarrassed that they have problems, or they've done something they said to the bank they didn't think they were going to do.
It's important to have a relationship. I grew up on a farm, and I remember we had a year where we lost a lot of calves. And I remember my dad, I was kind of complaining. I was just a teenager, and I was kind of lamenting it. He said, son, the only people who don't lose calves are the people who don't have cattle.
Yeah, that's right.
The only business owners who don't have, the only people who don't have challenges in business are the people who aren't in business. You're going to have challenges. And one of my recurring, it's not a recurring nightmare, but sometimes, Mike, I wake up in the middle of the night in a cold sweat from a nightmare where I have been in business without an independent community banker at my side. And I'll tell you what, I don't even want to think about what my life would be like if it weren't for independent community bankers like yours.
I'll have to send you another check, Jim.
Well, I'm telling you, and let me tell you something, folks. I mean everything I say on this show, but nothing do I mean more than what I just said. If you're a small business owner and your prime bank isn't an independent community bank, you're making a major tactical error.
Well, you can bet the independent community bankers of America appreciate that.
Bob. Well, I'm telling you, I promise you, that's experience. That's serious, long-term experience. And Michael, I've said that before. I say it when you're not on here because it's a big deal, folks. I mean, the people that you're going to be more likely to climb onto your wagon with you and help you drive the team is going to be more likely to be an independent. I'm not saying that you're not going to get anybody else to do it, but it's going to be more likely to be the independent community bank. Michael, it's good visiting with you. I hope you have a great holiday.
We will. We hope you have a great 4th of July, and thanks for talking about where freedom began, which was actually, if you look hard, Jim, it was in Scotland.
It wasn't it?
Yes, the Scots invented the world. Absolutely. This is a true statement.
Thanks, Michael.
Take care, Michael Menzies,
ladies and gentlemen. Wonder what his bloodline looks like. Got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners, because without your courage, hard work, and devotion to your dreams, America would not be the greatest entrepreneurial country in the world. This is Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and this program is for you. I'll be right back.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.